Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial, bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. That's Dreams of Children by Shadow Facts. It's called Another Country. Kind of interesting music to keep hearing over the years, huh? You guys have been hearing this for well over 30 years. An amazing thing. Spring is in the air. Yep, spring is in the air. What does that mean? Spring is in the air means that if you could smell it. And if you have allergies, you could really smell it. Right? Spring is in the air. That poor nose, that nice nasal cavity, it does take so much in. And when you smell spring, it does things to the human body. It makes you just lust. That's what spring is about. Spring is about the lust for life. I'm coming out. I'm coming to get you. I'm going to come out mating. I'm going to be looking for my mates. This is it. The grass does it. The trees do it. The butterflies and the bees do it. And they're all doing it. They call it falling in love, but they're really getting out there, getting ready to perpetuate the universe.
There's a beautiful thing that happens, Armand, after a long winter when everything's been frozen and the ground's been frozen for so long. And finally, the earth thaws. And a big part of that smell of spring that we smell, that brings us into that mindset, is I think the smell of the earth that we haven't smelled in months because it's been frozen over.
You think that's what happens to everybody? Frozen earth, even where there is no frozen earth? Does it happen in Guyana? Is there a smell of spring in Guyana? I wonder. Or are those just a New York thing? We'll have to check into that. But speaking about smells of spring, Ben and I were talking about memories that we had about smells themselves. And I want you all to be considering what smell you remember. What smell has meaning to you? What are the important smells of your life?
I think smell, Armand, is the sense of smell that's most tied to our memory. So, for example, when you smell a bottle of vanilla, the odor molecules, they float back into your nasal cavity behind the bridge of the nose, and they get absorbed by these mucus receptors that have these microscopic hairs in your nose called cilia. And there's 5 million of these cells that are shooting these impulses to your brain's olfactory smell center. And these kinds of cells are unique to your nose.
Right, and if you destroy a neuron in the brain, it's gone forever. It doesn't regrow. And if you damage neurons in your eyes or ears, both organs are irreparably damaged, you know. But the neurons in the nose are replaced about every 30 days, and unlike any other neurons in the body, they stick right out and wave in the air, like anemones on a coral reef.
So you see these hairs inside of us that are there to catch the whiff. It's like our primary defense. The primary thing we humans have. You think it's visual? No. You think it's auditory? No. But that smell thing is very important. Now, there are a couple of conditions that I know, and I've had a couple where you can smell nothing. Like you have a cold and you can't smell anything. Mm-hmm. You can't taste anything. It's a very different life. What perhaps is the most extraordinary is that scent lodges itself in the long-term memory system of the brain. So we go to the long-term memory system of the brain, and therefore we have two things connected, smells and memory.
And, yeah, they all fall into a few basic categories, kind of like colors. So when it comes to smells, you have the minty category.
That's one, mint.
Yeah, the floral category.
Which is like roses the way they used to smell, right? Before right. They became unsmelly roses.
The ethereal category, which is certain fruits, the musky category, the resinous category, the foul category, like
rotten eggs, yeah, garbage,
dead animals,
right,
and the acrid category.
So our nose wants us to know. The nose knows.
The nose knows.
The nose knows. It wants us to know that. It wants us to be able to tell foul, rotten eggs. I can understand that because in a way it tells us what to eat and what not to eat. Smell certain mushrooms smell good. Certain mushrooms don't smell good.
Yeah, you know what to stay away from. You know it's dangerous for your body.
I don't know. You know, there are certain cheeses I couldn't imagine, like Limburger, right? But it's just some people, it's a delicacy.
That's true.
But it still has that rotten smell. Death. The smell of death makes sense to me. Because if you ever smelled a dead body, and I have, or a burning body, and I have, it's like, it's the worst smell you can imagine. And I don't know why it's the worst smell you can imagine, because I can't describe it. But it's the worst smell. Meaning that it says to you, get out of here. You know what police do when they have to enter a house that has a dead body in it? What they do, the old guys, what they do, believe it or not, they go to the back of their cars, to their exhaust tank, and they inhale, they take a couple of whiffs of carbon monoxide that comes out of the tailpipe, and that makes them not smell the smell when they go in the place. Isn't that cool?
It's incredible.
Isn't that cool? Wow. Knowing that, yeah, just whiff your gas pipe, your tailpipe, and you'll be okay in here. So there are the old timers not being disturbed by the smell, and the young kids are gagging all over the place.
Right.
They didn't know how to take the tailpipe yet.
And what's interesting, Armand, is that you said that you couldn't even describe the smell.
I can't.
Even though you know what it smells like.
Absolutely.
And that's the interesting thing about smell, is that it's impossible to describe a smell to someone who's never smelt it. It's very hard to do. Because smells, they're so unique, and they're so different from our other senses. I mean, I can explain to you what something feels like to the touch, or what something might sound like. But it's very hard to describe a smell if you've never smelt it.
Well, let's go back in time. Go back to when you were a kid. What is a smell that you could remember from childhood? Is there a particular smell that you could remember from childhood? I remember our hallways. We had this, because it was a pretty rundown place, we had this smell of urine that was in the hallways. And that was mainly from kidney disorders. It was mainly from people who were, you know, it wasn't just people peeing in the hallways. It was like it had this smell. And it meant this is an old, dirty place. That's what kind of the message is sent out. You know, the smell, I could remember that from childhood. Then I could remember my grandfather, my great-granduncle's farm, which smelled like, I can't describe how beautiful it was. It was a freshness that was the opposite of that. All about life, and one is all about death. So why the smell of urine is so bad? Again, it's the smell of illness, the smell of death. The body is kind of warning you, get away from this. Now think about somebody you love. We have learned that one of the things that attract us to our mates is called pheromones. What is a pheromone? A pheromone is something that carries this message of the DNA of your body. So let's say you have... Your body's, your DNA is made up of a certain amount of strength, and then there's a certain weakness you have to a certain illness. Your body is going to select a mate who has a strength in that area, whereas you have a weakness in that area. So biologically, nature will make you pick a mate who will have something that will strengthen your offspring. Now, how will it have you pick this mate? Through the pheromones, through the smell. So some people smell better than others. Give you an example of this. When you're married, when you're having a baby, when you're having a baby and you're pregnant and you're having a baby, as you're having this child, suddenly your mate doesn't smell good anymore. Nature wants you to stop fooling around with your mate. It turns you away from your mate, but you know who smells good? Your family smells great. So it makes you want to be with your family.
Because that's a safe place to be with your baby.
And that's the best going to be the best protection.
Right.
Now, there's some silly old husband who got married and he had a baby and he said, oh, we're going to have a wonderful time. But suddenly she's moving me away. Suddenly she's putting the baby between us. What's all that about? Well, you're going to get over that over time. Lucky enough, you run into me and I'll explain it to you. But if you're not lucky enough, you believe your marriage is over and you made a mistake. All based on a biological imperative. So I would be curious about people's experience with smells and associations connected to smells. And they could be calling us a little later at 212-757-5555. And we'll be taking your calls because I want to hear about your relationship to that. Do you know the first perfume that was ever based on a synthetic smell is called an aldehyde? And that was Chanel No. 5. That was the first thing that did not come from ambergris. Ambergris and amber. Ambergris is what the whales.
Whale
sperm.
Oh, whale.
Whale sperm became the basis of a lot of perfume throughout the years. You know where perfume came from? The idea of perfume came from the fact that when there were great parties in France and in England, and there was like a whole bunch of people, there were no toilets. So there was this terrible smell that people always carried because there were no toilets. There's no running water, none of that. And perfume was created as a way that you could cover your own smell and the smell of others. That's what it was for. It was kind of to hide that smell because there were no toilets.
People probably bathed a lot less, too, back
then.
They
sure did.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting when you mentioned the pheromones and this the smell of attraction. It reminds me of the exercise that you told me about a while back where they gave a bunch of people a shirt to smell. And the shirt had been worn by a member, you know, a member of the opposite sex that, you know, was a potential mate. And they never even saw the person. And then they categorized who they thought would be most attractive by what the shirt smelled like. And all that was based on the pheromones.
Pheromones and the messages, the incredible messages that we have. Do you remember what your mom smelled like? If you think back and you sink into it, I'll bet you could find it. The very smell that your mother had, the very, you know, you're almost afraid to use the word smell. You mean like odor, known as scent? Scent.
Aroma.
A scent, I think, is more forgivable when it comes to your mother. Your father smells like something, but your mother has a scent. Hey, we got a caller on the line. Let's say hello to Larry. Hi, Larry. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand.
Hi there.
One of the most memorable scents of my life, I could still sense it today. When I was a child, I had my tonsils removed, and they put a rag over my face. I guess it was ether. And that ether smell was so powerful as a child. I could still sense it today.
Do you like it?
No, not at all.
No, do you have an aversion to it? Do you have a, like a fear of it, a horror of it?
Yes, I guess so, because it reminds me of being on a hospital table helpless, you know?
Well, it reminds you of being helpless. This is what it's about. You see, the reason that that one took a toll on you is because powerlessness and you don't get along.
Right.
See, I like the smell of ether.
Uh-huh.
I do. I do.
Well, I like the smell of gasoline, so I think I know what you mean.
Okay, good. So yeah, why do you like the smell of gasoline?
I can't tell you why.
Tell you why, because it represents powerful rather than powerless. So ether and you, so you and powerless don't get along, but you and powerful get along real well.
Oh, that makes sense.
Kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yes.
Now tell me about the person who you love the most in the world. Who is that?
My mom, without a doubt.
Without a doubt, right?
Right.
What's her smell like? Her scent, I'm sorry.
Very light perfume, I guess.
Like a light perfume.
Yeah.
Like something like, does she smell like talcum powder? She smells like powder.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
She doesn't smell like perfume. Smell your mother smells like powder. Yeah, I got that. I got that. Yes, it's like a light powder. It's not even a perfume, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
The smell of her skin.
Yeah. Lovely thing. Do you ever meet anybody who can give you that feeling?
I have recently. I believe I have. And it has been a long time. My mom passed a couple of years ago, but I just met someone who brings about these feelings.
Really?
Recently, yeah.
Tell me about that person.
Well, Well, it's a woman I know from teenage years, and somehow we just got reconnected. And I've always had a loving thing for her, you know, and she just came back into my life. I don't know why, but...
So it's a lovely thing when you hold her in your arms that somehow it brings you back to that safety that you had, right? That even if you don't have power, you're okay.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Comforting feeling.
I bet you must like taking a drive with her.
Yeah, just being alone with her anywhere.
And do you like to drive your car a lot?
Oh, no, I don't drive anymore, but she does.
Okay, and why don't you drive?
Just for economic reasons, Armand. I was hit hard by the economic crash a couple of years ago, lost my job, and had to give it up.
So powerless again, you can't stand that. All
right.
Lucky for you, you found somebody who could kind of be with you and at least give you some of that nice, tender feeling.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in. Find out what kind of talcum your mother used.
Thanks so much.
It was powder, not perfume, I'll tell you.
Okay, thank you.
All right. 212-757-5555. So the very same smell could be an aversion to some people. Right? Now, remember, we had this experience with skunk.
Right.
Somewhere in the early 70s, marijuana was judged by its smell. And the more funny it smelled, the better it was. This is when they were growing in before Colorado. And so I remember everybody was like evaluating this and saying, oh, that's the best smell. So the smell of skunk was what they would call skunk. It was supposed to represent the best of the marijuanas. You remember this?
Well, I wasn't there for the 70s, Armand, but I do know what you're talking about. And it's interesting how a smell that for someone can be so, you know, to give someone such an aversion to it for someone else could be pleasant.
I mean, right, you could be riding out in the country and somebody who's from the country says, oh, that's a skunk. And I go, oh, no, that's somebody smoking good weed.
Yeah, you know, it's weird you say that, actually. Growing up, me and my sister, when we were like 4 or 5, we would smell marijuana. And we were always told it was incense because my grandmother would smoke it therapeutically for her arthritis.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't know this, but we grew up smelling this, and we loved the smell because it was this like incense-like smell that we really like loved smelling, and it was like very calming and we eventually, when we were like teenagers, found out what it was, and we could not believe what it was this whole time.
Grandma was smoking dope.
Right, yeah, Grandma was smoking dope the whole time, and it was such a peaceful grandma smell to me.
Well, that's exactly right. When Grandma finally smoked it, dope, she was in a great shape.
Yeah.
She was very nice, and it was nice around the family, so it wasn't just the incense. It was like, hey, this is one connected...
Right, it represented the peaceful, less arguments, less, you know, more love in the family.
I have that with the smell of vanilla mixed with orange. If you mix vanilla and orange together, there's this particular scent that reminds me of cake being cooked.
That
was the only cake my mother made.
Vanilla and orange.
Something like that. Some of those two things went in there somewhere. And that kind of combination had meaning. Maybe because it smelled like Chanel No. 5. Let's take another call. Sandy, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand.
Hello, Sandy.
I just wanted to reference the vanilla and orange because those are some of my favorite scents as well. But I just wanted to share with you the memory of when my son was born. And that moment when they put him in my arms, of course they had wiped him down and, you know, so forth, but the smell of iron and blood and the truly ecstatic introduction of a new life, I will never forget the smell. And they put him to my breast, and, you know, he began to nurse, and it just truly such a culmination of humanity and life, and the smell of this new life was beautiful.
Well, let me ask you something. Did you have an epidural?
No.
Okay.
Well, no, I did. Yes, I did.
That's what I thought. Okay.
I had an epidural because he was premature.
Uh-huh.
And so my hips not spread, and but they wanted to do a cesarean, and I said, no way. And so it was a 27-hour birth. Mm-hmm. It was very painful. I felt like a flayed pork chop. But to see this new life come into the world was quite extraordinary.
Let me take it one step further. Let me take it one step further with you. So what happens at that point, when you have the epidural, there's a certain insensitivity to certain things, including smell. But when you have
the epidural, really just allowed me to manage what was the most excruciating pain of my life.
I know.
I suppose in that moment, but nonetheless, the fruition of this extraordinary child overcame any pain, sensation. It was irrelevant because he was so beautiful, and the smell of this new life was quite extraordinary. And as you
thank
said
you.
Earlier
thank
in your
you.
Show,
beautiful.
I can't describe it.
So do you feel that way every time you see your son?
Well, I haven't seen him in years, but
why?
I do feel it, and I smell
why have you
it,
not
and
seen
I can
it
sense
years?
It
why
in
have
my
you
mind.
Why?
In
do
my
you
mind.
Not hear
and
me when I talk?
Interesting thing about sense.
Wait a minute.
And smell,
can you hear me talking to you?
It is in the mind.
I don't think you could hear me talking to you. Can you hear me talking?
No, it's hard because I have a very poor phone. I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I'm trying to ask you questions and you're just talking over me.
I'm sorry.
Okay, why have you not seen your son for so many years?
Well, I suppose the Department of Homeless Services has their reasons.
Tell me what you mean. So in other words, you're homeless?
I have been with my son, yes.
And so they separated you from him?
Yes, they put him into foster care.
And so somewhere inside you, you have the beautiful memory of having had that son. And that that memory holds you. Holds you where you need to be held.
And that ancient instinct of smell and scent.
Yeah.
I could be completely blind in a room and thousands of people could walk past me. And I would still recognize my son.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for adding that to us.
Thank you.
Sure.
Bye.
Bye. So imagine what that was like. You go through all of that pain, you have your baby, and then the baby has to be taken away because of childhood services, and you can't see him, but you have the memory. You have the memory if you have something in life. You have the memory of having had that moment. So her son is with her forever. Gives her meaning, significance. I'm glad for her. 212-757-5555. Yeah, life is funny. So among the smells, the things that I could remember that are really wonderful, right? Just think about it. Now, if you're how about home cooking? Is there a home cooking smell?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Lentil soup. I remember
lentil
soup.
You have
lentil
soup?
Oh, yeah.
How is lentil soup a smell?
I remember it's like a mixture of the spices. I don't know.
Whatever
my grandma would make it. Was
a
like
lot of oregano, I think.
Oregano and some celery and the lentils themselves, a little bit of olive oil. It was... And it would sit for like 4 or 5 hours, so I know. So
it would fill the house.
Fill the whole house, yeah.
Yeah. For me, it's banana bread. The same thing. My dad would bake it, and it would permeate the whole house.
When your dad was baking banana bread, were things okay in the family?
Yeah.
If your dad was not baking banana bread, might things not be okay in the family?
Probably less okay.
Less okay, right?
Yeah.
So it's a signal. So many of our memories are related to safety. Many of our smell memories are related to safety. Somehow, we remember the things that say, and here's a time when you were safe.
I was thinking about that with Larry. He said he likes the smell of gasoline, and I do too. And I never thought about it the way you put it about gasoline represents power, powerful. And, there was always something about the smell of gas stations and gasoline that comforted me.
There's something about it that's a real nice thing to you. Yeah. Let's take a call from 5 minutes. Stephanie, hi, this is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to call in about the one thing about the newborn baby smell. I watched a science program once, and they were talking about how a newborn baby gives off the pheromones you're talking about, and that, like, I guess the mother and the father, in fact, get oxytocin then, and so that moment where the baby gets handed over is probably a chemical thing too, which is
well.
Wonderful.
Wait a minute,
so
Stephanie, you're saying something. You're saying
right
something
along
important.
Lines what you're saying.
You're saying something important. It's very true. So what happens at that moment? Now something additional happens that we have not really fully documented yet, but we suspect. Or there's been suspicion that at childbirth, natural childbirth, there is the G-spots create an orgasm, and that there's some kind of orgasm that goes along with childbirth, which allows for a pleasure feeling, which also allows that child to bond on the oxytocin level, especially with the mother. So it's like there's a whole bunch of chemicals taking place. Now, did you give birth to a child?
No, I haven't, no.
Okay, do you remember being born? Do you remember being in your mother's... Do you remember?
I don't.
Okay, do you remember being held by your father?
I don't. My mom had a blood clot soon after I was born, so I spent the first couple days of life with my grandmother's, actually.
Mm.
But they have very strong scent things for me instead. So.
Okay, let me ask you something, though. Have you ever... noticed the smell of a man that smells great?
Mm-hmm.
Which man?
A couple different, on different levels. I've had, like, boyfriends who I've, you know, just, I don't know, like after they've left or something, I could, like, you know, almost like, smell them on the chair they're sitting on, or, you know, like the, you know, just like, I don't know, like the smell of their, like, clothes or something, you know? And then I'd also say... on, like, a different level than, like, my grandfather, when he passed away, you know, when we were going through his clothes and his things and kind of the lingering scent in that way, was also very strong.
And so when you picked up his clothes again, he was kind of passing, you could actually remember him from mm-hmm. the smell of it.
Mm-hmm.
From the smell of it, right?
Yep.
It's like we should have little bottles. We should have little bottles of things that represent people. So that not only the visual, photographs are one thing, right? But being able to get a scent of somebody. Oh, I remember him. Oh, yeah, he's my neighbor. He moved. Yeah, what was he like? Here, smell this. A whole new way of identifying. So, Stephanie, in your life right now, mm-hmm. if you could add one particular fragrance, what would it be?
It would be, I think it would be the smell of my grandparents' house.
Yeah.
It had like a strange, you know, kind of like a hard to describe smell, just the, I don't know, like the whole house. And every now and then I'll get like a little, just, I don't know, like the blankets or something will just kind of smell like that, just a little bit. And it's really nice when that happens.
And when you get that, you mm-hmm. feel safe.
Yeah.
And that's the feeling we're looking for. Thanks a lot for calling in.
Thank you.
Sure, we have to take a short break, my friends, and when we come back, we're going to be playing the music from A Scent of a Woman.
Yitzhak Perlman and the tango scene from Scent of a Woman, John Williams' composition. You're tuned into 99.5 FM, WBAI, New York. This is The Positive Mind, here with your host, Armand DeMille, co-host Julian Joiello, and I'm Ben Starr.
Thank you.
Ben Starr, for the last time in this country, until he gets back. Going to France, huh?
Yep.
They got some smells over there, let me tell you.
For sure do.
You're going to be around Paris? Where are you going to be?
I'm only going to be flying into Paris, but I'm going to visit family who lives out in the countryside, so there's a whole other...
Oh, that's a whole unique...
Whole other range of smells out there.
Boy, is it ever. Is it ever the fields and the flowers? They still have fields and flowers, or are they all cement?
No, no. They got lots of fields and flowers and livestock and chickens and cows.
A beautiful thing, Ben. Bring us back some. Hey, so this is Armand DeMille. Adelou.
Hi. How are you, Armand and Ben? Wonderful to hear your program. I wrote some stuff down. Can I read it real fast?
Sure.
Okay. Well, when our girls were little, they would always know where something came from. And they would say things like, oh, this smells like so-and-so's house, or like this is from Grandma and Grandpa's house. Or, you know, they would actually identify things around our house as for coming from someone's house by the smell, which I thought was amazing. And they were just little kids. And then the other thing is that I am one of those people who loves the smell of skunks. I really, really do. And to get to our house, we live in Westchester, we cross this bridge. And every time we cross that bridge, for some reason, there's a tremendously strong smell of skunk. And also whenever we cross the Brooklyn Bridge, for some reason, there's also... And I love it.
Well, that's the place where all those guys smoke marijuana. No.
Probably, you know. And then the other thing is that my husband wears Aveda products, and they smell very distinctly.
Wait, he wears Aveda products? What's that?
Aveda? Gee, I don't know. That's the name of the company. They make toiletries.
And he wears this very strong scent. Do you like the scent?
Oh, I love it. And the thing is, our daughters don't ever want to use his shampoo or his lotions because they don't want to smell like him. They want him to smell that way.
And now, wait a minute. Like, back that up for me. They don't want to smell like him. They want him to smell like him, but maybe they don't want to smell like a man.
That too, probably.
I mean, maybe not. You know, if I were a daughter, I don't want to wear my daddy shampoo. You know, it's like men. Men kind of pull back from using a woman's shampoo, right? It's a silly, stupid thing, right? It's just soap, but we got to... Oh, no, I don't want to use that girly shampoo because it'll make me homosexual.
Well, a lot of our shampoos, sadly, I don't like them. You know, specifically female shampoos that smell like fruity. I don't like that smell for some reason.
Okay, let's go back for a second. Have you ever been to the Philippines?
Never.
Never. Do you know anything about any of their products or any of their items or any of those around your house?
Sadly, I don't. I had friends when I was in high school, but they were very far removed from their culture.
Removed from their culture. Where is your culture originally?
Oh, I'm from the Bronx, but my family's from Puerto Rico, and our spices are strong, so I loved coming home after school and just smelling all those wonderful spices up the stairs, you know, like I could always tell that my mother was starting cooking or my father was starting the cooking.
So part of what you are saying is what the earlier people were saying is that there's an association between the feeling of safety and a favored smell.
Oh, I agree. Oh, absolutely.
So when you had that smell of your house, when you could smell the arrascon pollo and all the other stuff going on in your house, right? When that would be going on, what do they call that soup, that chicken soup?
Sancocho.
Absolutely. When you could smell sancocho, you knew all is right in the world.
Oh, yeah. Well, my mother doesn't cook anymore, and it's very sad because, you know, she just stopped cooking. She's in her 90s. Uh-huh. But I miss it. And yet her house in Puerto Rico still smells like it, Armand. It's like it's in the wood. It's in the furniture.
Yeah,
so when I go to stay with her, I love to stay up very late and watch her sleeping. And I love to just smell the house, you know. And I smell all the... She has mortar and pestle that she's had ever since I was born, I think.
Wow.
And I take it out of the cabinet. And, it, you know, the wood is very aged. And it probably has like 3,100 times a million times, you know, mashings of all the herbs and spices. You know?
I wonder, you know, we've done some research on music as it affects people who have Alzheimer's disease. We found that if you put headphones on people and you have them listen to music, that it sharpens, brings them back into reality. I wonder if there was a fragrant focus of what smells would do to bring back the lost memories.
Wow.
I bet it would be an incredible thing. I think we have
okay.
to get, somehow
Arman,
we got
to
sponsor
a challenge.
This.
You have a challenge.
Yeah,
you have
we
to do.
Do.
This,
how about
have
we
to do?
Do.
This test.
How about we do? How about you
okay,
do too?
I'll help you. Call me.
Thank you so much. Adelou, tell me one thing. Where does your name come from?
Oh, well, my father loved poetry, and it really means fairy of light. Ada in Spanish means fairy, and the luz means light, so it's fairy of light.
The fairy of light. You must have loved your dad a lot.
Oh, tremendous. By the way, he had a smell that I cannot forget because he used to carry me all the time.
What was the smell?
I don't know. I know we called it aguamameli, but I don't even know if the product still exists. And I used to watch him shave, and then he would splash just all over his neck and his face. And then he would pick me up, and, you know, I would smell all that wonderful smell.
How do you spell
that?
You know, how do you think you spell that?
A-G-U-A-M-A-M-E-L-I. I think. Again, yeah. I didn't read at that time. So, I never read the bottle. I know it had like a little person on it. You know, it was black and white label. I remember
it
distinctly. But I don't remember the words.
Made you feel safe. Thanks for calling in.
The best. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Arman, always.
So, that's interesting. What makes us feel in danger? What smells represent danger? Since we know it's not skunk, right? What smells kind of tell you that something is wrong? How about this? The smell of another woman's perfume on your husband. Ooh. It doesn't take long to take that one, right? Right? Tobacco's an interesting thing. At one point when I was a kid, the smell of tobacco was a friendly smell. It was a friendly smell.
I still find it as a friendly smell myself. I know a lot of women my age, friends of mine, who find it very attractive. The smell cigarettes on a man, you know, that's like a very manly smell for them.
So there's some association between cigarettes and masculinity. In fact, there's a cigar bar. Is there one on 7th Street in Manhattan? There's a cigar, not the one that burned down. There's a cigar bar that has, where people go in, men and women go in, because there's something about it that's wonderful. And I met someone recently who walked out of that place, and their hair smelled of these cigars. And the smell is attractive to some. Now, in my life, I've gotten to feeling an aversion to the smell of cigarettes. So when I smell it, I feel like it's like an invasion. You know, where did that get to you? How did that get to you?
Well, is it the smoke itself or the smell on
someone's
clothes?
No, it's my health associated to the cigarette itself.
Interesting, right.
My own body's reaction to it. So it becomes a danger to me.
Right. Whereas so it's sort of evolved from
it
from
evolved, and, yeah. And I wonder how our smells evolve. I wonder how they evolve even when you're picking a mate. Let's say you're picking a boyfriend or a girlfriend. So at first, you want the excitement of having a mate that gets really excited and they want to make love to you and they're passionate and all that, so you get sweaty and all that stuff and you get that smell and that's great. But then after you get it burned a few times, I don't like that smell so much. Give me the smell of the nice, clean guy, the guy who washes himself, the guy who really takes care of himself. I'd rather have that guy. I think we're kind of going through it with the bearded evolution at the same time. It's kind of an image of ruggedness that goes with the beard and the beard, and then there's kind of a choice. I want the rugged or I want the soft. Which one do I want? And all that will come according to the way the person will smell. 212-757-5555.
You know, you mentioned cigarettes as a smell that divides people. A lot of people think of it as a friendly smell or an attractive smell, and for others, it's a very bitter, off-putting smell. There's a lot of smells like that, I think, when you break it down. Just one that comes to my mind is the subway. I've always felt comforted by the smell of the subway when you walk down into a subway station. A lot of people can't stand it. For me, there's something about it. I mean, it takes me back to being young, or even old.
Wait, let's go with that smell for a minute. I got a one word for the subway. One word, because I find it attractive too. Dank.
Yeah.
Dank. It smells dank.
Absolutely.
I don't know anything else that smells dank. Do you?
I guess the garage of the house I grew up in
smells
like
dank.
That. But it's all—it's the same materials, you know. It's concrete and metal and humidity and the elements.
Wetness.
Yeah, and... yeah. Another one I like is the old taxi cabs, the Crown Vicks, the back seat. There's a very specific leather smell to those old Crown Victoria taxis. They're taking many of them off the roads now. They have mostly Toyotas.
Yeah, I know what you mean. But ones that have been around for probably like 20 years.
Right, the
15,
old
20.
Yeah, the old Fords. They just have a smell in the back seat.
Yeah, or even some of the older trains. Yeah, I mean, you were talking about the subways, but like specifically the ones that have the seats that are sideways, or the C train that has the long, thin, gray sideways benches. Yeah.
Amazing, you guys. You guys are triggering all kinds of images in people's minds. The smells of love are the most interesting of all smells, because what's it like to love someone, and what parts of the body are okay and what parts of the body are not okay? You know, I know so many people, women, who have spoken about how they hate their own smell. They're afraid of the smell of their bodies. They're afraid they don't smell right. So, you know, these are the people who are always touching themselves and then smelling it to try and see what there's like checking your own breath in your hand. You know, they're always afraid of, do I smell bad? Because there's some kind of rule that says if you smell bad, you're not going to be wanted. You're going to be rejected. Let's say hello to Michael. Michael, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille.
Hi, Armand. Long time listener, first time caller.
Hey, congratulations for getting through, Michael.
I know. I was surprised.
It must be like winning the lottery, you know, because our lines are so limited that you keep dialing and dialing and dialing, and then boom, hey, I got through. Oh, congratulations. Yeah, that's great.
I just wanted to let you know, like, I was raised with women, six women, four, you know, my mom, and my three sisters, my aunt, and her daughter. And I don't like men's colognes, the smell of men's cologne. And, like, my shampoo and stuff, I tend to use the fruity stuff. And I like the smell of perfume, you know, but I really can't stand cologne.
You can't stand men's cologne.
Men's cologne.
Okay, now look at, here's what happened to you. You were raised with how many women? Seven women, you said? Eight women?
Yeah, six.
Okay, now there's only one way to be raised with six women, and that is to become a sister. Doesn't mean you change your sexuality. You could still be very male, but you have to be able to walk in the sister's path so they could feel safe with you. So
yeah.
You had to be like a sister to a sister. You can love women. Like very, very few men could love women. You understand them. You are with them. You could breathe with them. You're comfortable with it. So
yeah.
you're a unique lover for a woman to find. So you have this ability. And what you did in your association was you went with the association of saying, I reject the stuff that they call maleness.
Yeah.
But I am very much a male.
You're
no less a male than anybody else. But you have walked that beautiful place where you get to understand women like very few men ever do. How lucky a woman would be to meet you.
I feel different. I feel the opposite. I feel they, like you were saying earlier, the smell of men attract women. You know, and they all like the way their fathers smell or whatnot. And I feel like I don't smell like a man.
So let me ask you something. Do you have any relationships now?
No, it's hard.
Huh. I know what you need. Oof. Okay, could you send me an email?
Yes, I actually purchased twice the visitation with you.
Yes.
And I've never gone.
Really?
And then, yeah, really.
Okay.
So, I'd love to, and I love I love your perspective on things.
Michael, you know? This would be a very good opportunity because I think there's a small button we could push that could help straighten out some things with you from what you're telling me.
Okay.
All right? I would look forward to meeting you. Remind me.
Okay.
Remind me. I'm the Michael who won the lottery. Okay? Nice
great
to talk to you.
Great.
Yeah, so that gets to that point where it gets so far down that there's Michael saying, you know, women want this other thing. They don't want what I have. It's not true. 917, no, it's not 917. It's 7212, well, there's 757-5555. We got time for a couple more calls. Hi, you're on the air. We're in the lottery. Keep that redial going, right? We're on redial.
I was thinking when Michael was talking about what an industry there is around smell. I mean, just shampoos and colognes and air fresheners and incense. It's incredible.
Ever since toilets. I mean, just imagine what life was like without a toilet. This is like they had tall buildings and they had pots. And they would toss the pots in the street. And you learned to walk far away from the edge of the building, you know what I mean? You had to learn how to skillfully avoid that. And then you would go to a party. And at these parties, there were no places to go to the bathroom. What do? Wear Chanel? No, you wear a good perfume. You wear flowers. You wear something to kind of mask the smell. Let's say hello to Steve. Steve, this is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
My smell was of a childhood. I grew up in an apartment building, and in the bottom of the apartment building, there used to be a bike room. And when you go in that bike room, the smell of stale inner tube tires of air permeated that room.
Stale inner tube tires. What about the grease? Did you get the grease smell too?
Nah, no grease smell. It was just that stale air smell.
I'm trying to get what that smell is. Do you know that smell?
Absolutely know that smell. It's the bike smell, the smell of the air in the wheels.
Air in the wheels.
Yeah. Especially when there's a whole bunch of bikes, you know, lined up.
Yes, there's like 50, 60 bikes down there.
Wow. And tell me, let me ask you this, Steve. What did the bike represent to you? Was that your freedom?
Oh, yes, it was.
When you got on that bike.
I got around every day I used to ride that bike.
So you found powerlessness with the smell of the bicycle. It started the minute you went down there. You'd catch that whiff. It was like fuel. It was like gasoline.
It sure was.
You didn't run on gasoline. It starts filling your blood. You smell it. You unlock the bike. You get on the bike, and you're free.
Yes.
Wow, what a beautiful thing. When do you ride nowadays?
I'm getting ready to get back into it, yes.
What do you mean getting...
Right now, I don't.
Why is that?
The automobile.
What do you mean?
I drive to and from work now. When I didn't have one, I used to ride my bike everywhere.
Okay, so listen, you know these city rental bikes?
Yes.
What about them? What do they sound at all appealing?
They do.
So do you think between now and next week you might take one just for kicks and come back and report to us?
You know what? I'm going to do that.
Would you please? Now, here's the problem with it is you can't get the smell. You're going to have
to do
it without the smell because they don't have the smell.
You could get the smell just by walking into a bike shop.
A bike shop.
Yes.
There's one
yes,
right across the street
right.
here on 58th Street. You mean if you walk into that bike shop, you get that smell?
I think any bike shop.
Well, Steve, can we get a report back from you?
You sure will.
It sounds like a man is going to be flying. You know? Because I could just see you. I could see you with your arms up in the air. I could see you bicycling without touching the handlebars. I could see you in Central Park and just riding on through.
Yes, yes. Beautiful smell.
Beautiful man. Thank you for calling in, Steve.
Thank you.
So you know the smell. What were you going to say, Julian, about if you rent those bikes?
Oh, I mean, I think it was...
Do you rent them?
Yeah, it was $70 for the year, and I've used them, I mean, hundreds of times. And I used to have my own bike, and I would get it constantly stolen in New York. So I've spent hundreds of dollars on bikes and locks and worrying about locking it up, and it would get stolen all the time, and it's kind of convenient in that way. So it really got me biking around everywhere. It's kind of nice.
We're actually the bike theft capital of the world.
We are.
Right
yeah,
here.
I know. Yeah. I know. I was buying a bike lock, and it actually said the warranty is exempt from New York City.
Right. It's valid in all 50
yeah,
states.
I was like, what?
I have the same lock as you.
Yeah.
Well, I wonder if they could do that with boyfriends and girlfriends. You know, have them all lined up, and then you just go and you unlock one, and you take it for a ride, see what that's like. Right? Take out the guy. You see a guy sitting there. I guess that's what a bar is. You know, you go to a place where people meet. It's like a bicycle rack. You know, I want to meet you. Let's talk to you for a little while. Let's see how it rides. One last call. Let's get David in here before we get going. We're going to have to be going soon. We may run over, God forbid. Hi there. This is Armand DeMille.
Hello, Armand. I'm a longtime listener, and this is the first time I've gotten through.
Hey, congratulations to you, too.
Thank you. I'm a musician in the area, and many years ago, I went to back to the University of North Texas, where I attended school, and I was out on tour down in Dallas, and for the afternoon, I went up to the school and walked into the school, and the first thing that hit me when I walked into the music building was the smell.
Mm.
I'll never forget that. I was like, wow. It was like I didn't expect it, but the smell came back to me. And
the smell came back to you because you remembered it from when you were there earlier.
Right.
Yes,
yeah.
It's amazing, right? Now, let me ask you something. When you were in that music building, how did you feel compared to the way you felt the rest of your life?
I felt good. I made a lot of fun there. Made some great music. There were some stressful times too there also, but it was an overall heightened feeling.
How far are you removed? How far are you removed from playing music nowadays?
Oh, not far removed at all. I still play.
And where do you play?
Well, I'm a freelance a horn player around New York City, a lot of different things, but the business has gotten very rough.
Do me a favor, David. Would you listen to our theme song called Another Country? I need it played on a trumpet by somebody. Would you send me you playing our theme song on trumpet?
Yes, I would.
I've got the approval from the owner. He said it's perfectly all right.
Okay.
And then we will represent you. We will say this music is by David.
I think we have a mutual friend who is also once a trumpet player.
Who is that?
Jack Eagle.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
We sure do. Thanks for calling in. I got to get going. David,
right,
thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
This is Armand DeMille with you with a positive mind. Julian Joyello and Ben Starr for the last time. Until he gets back from vacation. And we will be, go to our website, thepositivemind.com. Send us an email if you want to, or you could do all the other things that are social ways of getting together. Sorry we ran a little late. We're just trying to learn how to be that way. We'll be back with you on Tuesday at 1 p.m., my friends.